Baruch shechiyonu v'kiyemonu v'gionu l'azman hazeh. Okay, what a great simcha it is to start on Shabbos. Beshotov mutzlachas. Those of us who are interested in listening to Shur 1 Simon Reish Mem, they have now been recorded, and if you wish to hear this Shur 1 Reish Mem, they are available through Mr. Moshe Lerner. Tonight we're starting on Shabbos, Beshotov mutzlachas. I heard that the Chofetz Chaim's first chilek was El Chashabbos. He attempted, he first wrote the Mishneh Berurah in El Chashabbos. And apparently they say, I couldn't verify it, but apparently, I believe I heard from Afalk even, he worked 12 years on it. 12 years. That's quite impressive to work 12 years on one sefer. Every word is particular, the chilek on Mishneh Berurah chilek Gimel, is an absolute masterpiece. It doesn't need my comments, but it's an unbelievable masterpiece. And whoever has attempted to find stiras in Mishneh Berurah, initially always looked like you found a really geschmacka stira, but upon closer examination, you see the goodness of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, and that it's within subtle ways he explains everything. It's unbelievable how the Mishneh Berurah on Hilchos Shabbos is an extraordinary masterpiece, primarily because the halachos are so complex, and he somehow managed to put it all, to condense it all in an unbelievable way. So I'm very particularly excited to start Hilchos Shabbos. The truth is, the beginning, the first few simonim are some very complex simonim, and then it goes into other areas of halacha. But it's from the beginning, as we all know, Shabbos is particularly negale maisa. I also want to just point out at the very beginning that the famous Akdom of the Chofetz Chaim, which he wrote on Hilchos Shabbos, famously brings the Rebbe Yonason in a quote. He says that it's one of those areas of halachas that that it's impossible to keep Hilchos Shabbos. It's genuinely impossible to keep Hilchos Shabbos. It is, says the Chofetz Chaim, impossible to keep Hilchos Shabbos unless you've got a clear knowledge in the halachas. It's not one of those things that you can get away with it without having clarity. It's not one of those. If you don't know Hilchos Shabbos well, you are inevitably going to be nichshel. You're going to do averus. There's no doubt about it. And he himself brings numerous examples, but his countless examples that just the knowledge in Hilchos Shabbos is critical for the kiyum of Hilchos Shabbos. So if you want to, we all appreciate the importance of keeping Hilchos Shabbos thoroughly. We all understand how important it is that, as the Chofetz Chaim brings in Akdom in numerous places, had we had more time, I would have gone through the Akdomas because it's so powerful and so important. He brings that somebody who keeps Hilchos Shabbos, it's shokul kineged all the other mitzvahs. It's Shabbos Hilchos Shabbos in one side, and all the other 612 mitzvahs on the other side. It's as important as that, and that's critical as, and somebody who doesn't keep Hilchos Shabbos, on the opposite, it's like avodah zarah, it's like all the worst averus. So we all understand the zchus of shmirah Shabbos kelchasa, and the kiyum of Hilchos Shabbos, and accordingly we also understand the importance of actually keeping Hilchos Shabbos. For us over here, we've been in the Diyush Hashem for quite a while. It's also a milestone, because we started the Shir, I don't know how many years ago. Who was here? Reb Gideon, you were here when we started. It was quite a while when we started the Yeshua Shir. I don't know how many years ago it was. It was somewhere in Hilchos Shabbos. So it's quite a milestone for us over here. Who was here for Hilchos Shabbos? Yeah, I think you were. Yeah, you were. November 11th. Yeah, no, it could be. So it didn't actually start in the Reish Mem Beis, but we were in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. I want to share with you also an interesting story, because it's going to lead us. It's going to put us in the right frame of mind. I may have mentioned it once a while ago. A story that Shimshon Pinkus brings in his sefer. Shimshon Pinkus brings a true story of a president of a community in Lithuania who had the great privilege of welcome the king, the Tsar Nikolai. I think it was Tsar Nikolai, or it may have been somebody else, but I believe it was Tsar Nikolai who came to that particular city. I've forgotten that. It's just come out of my mind which actually city that was. It was a very great privilege. They knew months and months in advance about that visit. And the president of the community, whose name also I just forgotten now, was particularly excited to be able to welcome the king. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to welcome the king into the village, into the city. king only comes once. It doesn't happen a lot. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't common kind of affair. And Reb Ochber was his Rebbe. Reb Ochber, the big Oshmo Reb Ochber Lebovitz. When the Rosh Hakohen, the president of the community, went up to him and said, I'm so excited, in a few more weeks, the king is coming to visit, and I can't wait, I'm going to be welcoming him around, I'm going to show him around. And then the Reb Ochber told him, I don't think it's such a great idea. He said, what do you mean it's not great? He said, I don't think you should show him around. Don't think it's such a brilliant idea. And he was very offended. He said, why not? He said, Besanish, he said in Yiddish, better not. I don't think you should show him around. He was very offended, but either way, he didn't take it seriously because he felt this is a once in a lifetime. But imagine the king comes, you want to show him around the village? And Kachava, when the king came, was a grand affair, massive, massive reception, massive welcome. And this Rosh HaKol, this president of the community, a very wealthy Yid, he showed him around. He goes first today. He showed him first that, you know, the Jewish street, and afterwards a few of the Jewish shops. And they walk around, and comes the Jewish hospital. It was Yiddish hospital. And he shows him Yiddish hospital, and then the king looks around and he says, I think that actually, when you built this, you know, it doesn't make sense to have the door this way. The door should actually be, the entrance to the hospital should be the other way. That doesn't really make sense. And the king stands and he says, you know, it should have been this way. And then the president of this person was showing around, you know, His Royal Highness has to explain that the reason why we've done it this way is because of the light and because of the sunlight and because of the logistics, it's easier. He says this, and all the entourage suddenly goes quiet, everything's silent. Suddenly, absolute silence. And then everybody freezes. And he doesn't know what he's done wrong. He looks right, he looks left, doesn't know. And it takes a split second until within the entourage of the king, there's a few like guards, like, you know, like massive, tall, you know, the bodyguards and the soldiers, and to grab him, one from the right side, one from the left side. He looks like a dwarf between those two. And he schlepped out. And you know what? He schlepped straight away. He's taken out. This president of the Jewish community is taken out, schlepped out, down the stairs, goes straight, wheeled into the horse wagon, stepped straight into the prison. And he doesn't understand. He said, well, the truth is that the reason was because the protocol, when you are by the king, you never disagree with him. Whenever he says something, the halach is, when you speak to a king, how often you've done it, you're not allowed to, the sound Nikolai, you don't argue with him. Whatever he says, yes, his Royal Highness, even if he's wrong, you don't disagree. You don't attempt to correct his Royal Highness. And he didn't know that. So he disagreed, and he said, no, the door has to be that way for logistic reasons. And as he said that, everybody freezes, and he schlepped out and he put to prison. It took them weeks to get him out of that prison. Obviously, the reception went a bit sour at that point. But as far as he was concerned, he was literally in prison until they got enough money to get him out of prison. Mm-hmm. He needed all the protector and all the money, eventually managed him out of the prison. But then suddenly, as he's taken out of the prison, he realizes, you know what, actually, Reb Ochber was right. He was right. He told me I shouldn't go around. But how did he know that? So as he goes back home, before he even goes back home, he goes to Reb Ochber, the Birka Shmuel, the Rosh Shiva, and he goes into Reb Ochber and he says, I don't understand. You are right. You told me I should not take him round. You, the Rosh Shiva, you knew I should not take him round. How did you know that I'm not meant to take him round? How did you know I'm not meant to take him round? You're right. I made that crucial mistake. I disagreed. So Reb Ochber answered as follows. He says, you know, I know you from when you were a child and when you were a kid. I know your background. You've become very wealthy. You're very well to do. You've become a VIP. But I know that you come from I remember your parents. They were farmers. And I remember when you were a child, you were very simple. Poch Hashem, you've been very successful in your business and you're a grand entrepreneur now. But I know your background. And I know that you don't know the protocol. You don't know the protocol, how to discuss it. You don't know royalty. You don't know. And I knew that if you don't know the right rules and the etiquette, of the king, you're going to get into trouble. And you, because I know you from where you were a child, I know your parents, your grandparents, I know you're going to get into trouble because you don't know the etiquette. And that was the mitzvah. So Shimshon Pinkas brings this message in this context. He says that we are also, if we don't know the etiquette of royalty, which of course is HaKadosh Baruch Melech Malchei Melochim, on Shabbos, it means that he's coming. It's serious business. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. It's beautiful. It's an absolute beautiful opportunity. It's a once weekly occurrence that we are really good. The Bereshit comes to us. And we honor him, we mechabit him. That's the halacha. Start with Kibbutz Shabbos. To mechabit him, to honor the Shabbos. But we need to know the etiquette. And if we don't know chalila the etiquette, we don't know how to actually deal with royalty, and then chas v'shalom we could end up like this, you know. So it's about knowing the etiquette. These halachas are put in that context, that it's about royalty. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes on Shabbos to us. And that's why there's halachas of kibbut and oinig. It's actually very interesting. Somebody once asked me, it doesn't make sense on Shabbos. It's a heilige day. We should fast and daven the whole day. No different than in Yom Kippur. But that's not halachas. We see that halachas are very different. There's an oinig Shabbos, there's covered Shabbos. There's all the halachas. Why is that? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to us, and we have to have the right attitude and the right approach. And this is about knowing the halachas of royalty, the halachas of the real royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchei Melochim. Rabbi says, Simen Reish Mem Beis, Lizor B'Kovod Shabbos. The halachas of being careful with Kovod Shabbos. See, if Aleph tells us the following, Afilu M'Shetzorich Lachem, even a person is financially dependent and he needs others, Im Yesh Lo Me'at Mishloi, if he has a little bit of his own money, and yes, he normally requires financial assistance from stock money, but he has got a little bit of his own. Tzorich lezor es atzmoi, he must be very careful. Lechaber es haShabbos, he must make sure to honor Shabbos. V'loy omru, and that rule that we normally say, na'aseh Shabbat chochol, you should make your Shabbos into a weekday, and don't go for absolute basics, v'al tetzarech lebrias, and don't require financial assistance from others. So again, this is a rule, that you should not need others, don't come onto others. Don't take it easily to take support, financial support from others. Don't take it easily. If you can avoid it, avoid it. So much so, that Aseh Shabbat Chachoyl, make your Shabbos into a weekday. Don't have fancy schmancy things. Go for absolute basics. Better go for absolute basics. And don't come on to other people's assistance. Go for basics and don't need stocker money. So v'loy omru Aseh Shabbat Chachoyl v'al tetzarech lebrias. The rule that make your Shabbos into a weekday and don't get on to, don't come on, don't be dependent on others. We only, this is only true when somebody is really, really, really desperate. But if you've got a little bit of your own money, you should use it. Therefore, you should be stingy. Yes, you should be stingy the whole week. In order to honor Shabbos. So don't, if you've got a weekly income, keep in mind that it's a Shabbos, and even if on weekdays you can't afford. I mean, some people, you know, I know some families in Yerushalayim, it's Kohl families. They can't afford meat. A lot of meat. Meat is very expensive, so they're only going to make sure to buy the meat for Shabbos. They're only going to have on Shabbos. I mean, that's mamash what he means over here. That you should try to be careful the rest of the week. Kedei lechaber the Shabbos in order to honor Shabbos. Rabbi says if cotton aleph mishnah bura. Hine, behold, Iker mitzvahs oinek Shabbos, the mitzvah of oinek Shabbos, nisparish lo nyo ledei Nevi'im, is brought down in the Nevi'im, k'mo shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, v'karosa, and you should call, la Shabbos, to Shabbos oinek, a pleasure. One has to ensure that Shabbos is also, from a physical and a physical way, it should be a oinek, it should be a pleasure. V'yeish poiskim, the ar poiskim hold, the sefirilu, the ikorim min ha-toyre, some hold, that covered Shabbos is close to a Torah obligation. Yeah, oinek Shabbos being deraisa. Shabbos u'bichlal mikroi kodesh. Shabbos is a mikroi kodesh. What the poster calls a mikroi kodesh. V'pish chazal b'sifra, and the sifra says, da'anu lekatshoi, you have to sanctify it. V'lechabto, you have to honor it. B'ksus nekia, with clean clothing. You have your, you know, Shabbos clothes. It's a mefurash halacha to have Shabbos clothes. V'le'angoi be'oinek, achilo v'shsiya, and you have to have special, you have to honor it, and you have to have pleasure with achilo v'shsiya and special foods and drinks. Nifligu chazal, so many families only have, you know, they have the whole week, they'll have water, and on Shabbos they have the more expensive drinks, or whatever it may be. So it's to be give it a special honor on Shabbos. Nifligu chazal, and the Gemara on Shabbos says, whoever is me'anek is a Shabbos gives a great oinek on Shabbos. Rewards him by nachlo with inheritance, with future inheritance, without any limitations. So if you are generous about Shabbos, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is generous with you in the Olam Haba. And he's saved from the Meshibut Malchus of being enslaved from other authorities, of Shub Malchus. For Zeicha, a person could also be rewarded by getting financial ashirus to get wealthy from it. Now he goes into greater detail over here. I'm going to skip all the details in terms of how much a person is on what level a person is allowed to take tzedakah money, but I want to bring to the later point over here that he says over here. That a person has to, he brings that a person has to ensure that it's got three appropriate meals. We'll speak more about that, but a person should ensure always that it's got three b'chavadika meals on Shabbos. Yeah, so Mishnah Berurah over here goes into this point in Sifkot and Beis. L'chavad is a Shabbos, Sifkot and Beis. Toiv le'izoyer shalayiv chois mishnei tafshilin. Should be two cooked meals. The way you honor Shabbos is by having two cooked meals. The gam toiv sheyoichal b'chol tzeuda. I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. The gam toiv, it is good, it is proper. Sheyoichal b'chol tzeuda mishalosh shudas dogim. Fish, Rabbi Yisai. There's a well-established minhag to have fish on all three meals. Sephardim also have fish, or is that Ashkenazish thing? Fish on all, only Friday night. Also on Shabbos day, and also Shudash Lishit. Three times fish. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah says you should do. Three times fish. Honey, you really can't stand fish. If you really can't stand fish, you leave it out. But you know, Rabbi said, that's why there's a minik. The minik is to give filter fish. Why give filter fish, Rabbi said? Boil, that's right, because the bones, not to, there's also a minik is soil already for many, many, many years. Boil, because if you've got other fish, you may potentially have a problem of boil, of taking the bones out, and gefilte fish is generally okay. No shallow boil, and that's why historically you didn't be known to eat gefilte fish on Shabbos. But yes, three times fish on Shabbos for all three meals, unless you really don't like it. You don't have to force yourself. Yeah, you're into fish? You like it? You okay with it? If you don't like it, Chaim Yeshua, you okay with it? Don't force yourself. If you really hate it, you don't need to have. Because Shabbos is for pleasure, not for agony. Now, very, very, very fascinating halach over here. So this is a gemara, actually. That what happens if the fish, what are they called? Fish, people sell fish, what are they called?
Fishmonger.
Hit the fishmonger, now they go up in price. They escalate the prices. They go up in price. And it goes up. You know what you should do? You should stop buying. You should make a takana to get together and say, okay, we're not buying fish anymore. Everybody together, we're not buying fish anymore. Until the price drops again. Have I said, it's Mishnah Berurah, that if people are taking advantage of it's a very important halacha this. If people are taking advantage of a halacha, people who are selling something which Eden need, and it's gone up in price because Eden want, pardon? It's gone up in price because that's what the need, the market is, people, everyone wants it. Mishnah Berurah says the right thing to do is that everybody gets together and you don't buy. And then price will drop. Oh, if I said something wrong.
No.
Yeah. It makes sense, right? Everybody said. Now, Mishnah Berurah says that you can only do that if the Avina Bevehetev, if you shall yas at the corner, don't always use this tool. Only use this. Everybody getting together. What is it called? Everybody gets together and you make a takona not to buy. Embargo, is that what it's called? So only do that if it's a third more than the accepted price. So if they're just going up 10-20% in price, fine, forget it, leave it, fine. Just get over it. Get on with it. But if it's more than a third, they've gone up in price. That's the limit. Don't make a fuss if it's just like within a third. But if we've gone up then more than 33%, that's where you can use it. Pimagodim says, no, even if it's less than a third, you could still make that takona because there's poor people around. Right. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yisai, the Mishnah says lemisha ashashot chukolai. If somebody it's very difficult, then we say Asher Shabbat Chachov Alta Tzoch Lebris. Here the Mishnah Berurah says, Hu Maik She'ein Lo Mishkono Yisdil Vois Aleihem, Hu Vloi Mashkon En Yochel Lahasig, Lavochi Tzoch Lili Vois, Kedei Shol Levat Lamitzis Oynik Shabbos. He said, it's better, he said, if you don't have money, said the Mishnah Berurah here, what you could do, and it's perfectly accepted, you can borrow money to make a Shabbos. So better than to take stocker money, if you have got a reasonable way you're going to pay back, you should borrow money, and if there's a better to borrow money than to stock of money to make a Shabbos. Kmo Shomu Chazal, Shomu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bonai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bonai, my sons, Levu Alai, Vani Pereya, you pay out, I'm gonna pay up for it. The Poskim say, this is only if they've got a there's a natural and a realistic way of paying back. If you feel that you can't just like take now hundreds of pounds and you're not quite sure how you're gonna pay back, that would be wrong. That would be obviously wrong. It's only if you're this rule only applies if you've got a realistic approach how to pay back the debt. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, concept, definitely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, indeed. Yeah, I won't put definitely. Rabbi said, it's an interesting bi'alach over here. What's the alocha? If somebody's got a few pounds on the side, if you've got a few pounds on the side, okay, you've got a bit of money on the side, you've got a bit of cash on the side. Now, you can either use it for Shabbos expenses. That's what you plan to do. But suddenly you need, there was a plumbing issue or electricity, and you needed a skilled tradesman to come in and sort out the electricity or the plumbing, whatever it is. And now, you know there's more money coming next week, so you have two choices. Either you spend the money you've got on the side, you've got £80 Friday morning, you've got £80 on the side. You can either spend it geschmack on Shabbos, you make a nice Shabbos, with covered Shabbos, with Oynik Shabbos, but you tell this but you know, I can't pay you today, I'm going to pay you next week. I'm going to pay you next week. Option number one. Alternatively, option number two is that you pay him. You pay him now. He was a worker. Let's assume he was a Yid. And he worked by you. He did the work. And you're going to pay him today. And your Shabbos is going to be a little bit more low-key kind of Shabbos with basics only. Absolute basics. What's better, Rabbi Yisai? Pay the workers. Borrow money. Pay the worker. Okay, assuming that. Okay, good. But if you can't borrow money for whatever reason, what is better? Pay the worker or use for Shabbos? Pay the worker. Says the Bi'alocha Rabbi Sai lechabed v'imyesh leirak maat mois. I mean the Bi'alocha. If you have got only a little bit of money, uvo schir litvoy avu pulosis shegom alo ayoyim, and he's a skilled worker who finished the job today. And it's very important it's today, as the brackets point out, otherwise the halacha would be different. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Nire shetzorich litnom la'poyel. You must give to the poyel. Such a beautiful bi'alocha, I love it. You have to give it to the worker. Kide lekayim ha'shekoseh b'yoymoy titen tzchoroy. V'loy sovo lav ha'shemesh. A very often, a frequently forgotten halacha, you have to pay on that day. And it's one of those strange things that people are not makpid on it. So strange, you have to pay today. You have to pay. If you ask for the money, you pay him today. Of course, he can be moichal, and of course, he can, you know, sometimes if not finished with the job, you certainly know. But if he's finished with the job and he gives an invoice and he wants to, you have to pay today. Pay, it's a mitzvah, I say the eraisa, according to all opinions. Pay yoimu titen schoroi. He's given you the job, he's given you, you have to pay today. So therefore, even if it's going to be on the cheshbon of Shabbos, you still have got to do it. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, We learned this evening about Lezor B'Kvod Shabbos. We spoke a little bit about the introduction of the Mishneh Berurah, that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos unless you know the halachas. And then we moved into Simon Reish, basically Lezor B'Kvod Shabbos. We said that even if you've got very little money, you should ensure to be mechabed the Shabbos and to honor it. And you should ensure that even if you've got the whole week, you have to be a little bit more stingy in order to mechabed the Shabbos properly. We learned that there's a mitzvah of Oynek Shabbos according to some opinions as the Reise, some hold that it's only with Rabbanon, but either way, behold, Kolam Anek is a Shabbos, Noisim Lachma, with some great rewards if you give great respect to Shabbos. We spoke about that there's a minhag to eat two tafshilin cooked fruit during the meals. We spoke about a minhag to eat fish. We spoke about the fact that if the prices shoot up, you can just stop buying altogether. And we spoke also about the fact that that you could borrow money if you in order to mechabed Shabbos. And we spoke, however, if there's somebody who wants to borrow money on that day, if somebody has done a job for you, it's better to pay him than to be mechabed Shabbos. Rabbi Isai, very geschmack start of Shabbos, more to follow Be'ez Hashem tomorrow.